Praise the Lord. You are worthy, Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we raise our hearts to you today, Lord. We say, Lord, you are our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. You are our High Priest today, Lord. Once again, we want to extol you and exalt you today, Lord. We want to give you praise. The highest praise we can give you, Lord, is to give our lives to you, Lord. This morning we lay our lives down one more time, Lord. Just for the sole purpose of you having your way and your will, Lord, in this house today and in every life. Holy Spirit, once again, we released you. We thank you that your presence is here along with the presence of our Father, that we dwell in that presence. We thank you for the outcome of this time together, Lord. People blessed, ministered to, once again, exhorted, comforted, build up in love, Lord, in Jesus' name. Once again, use me, Lord. I surrender to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Chronicles 7:14, just to open. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We all know the scripture says that there's a way that seems right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. A man considers his ways many times to be right. But the consideration is not based on God's word, it's based on his own feelings or his own emotions or his own desires. And those desires, uncontrolled by the Spirit of God and the Word of God, fulfill evil and bring about evil in life, in people's lives. The other thing is that it not only affects the person who's involved in it or who's given themselves to that, but it affects people around them. You know what I'm talking about. That's one of the reasons the Bible says, consider your ways. A man left to selfish, self-centered devices in any way, shape, fashion, or form, he will never, ever do what God requires of him. He'll never be able to because his mind and his focus is on himself. Once again, I guess that scripture just kind of screams out at this moment to me that you're supposed to consider your ways. In this life, in recent years, probably within the last 50 years, we've been taught so heavily that what's so important, and by quote-unquote so-called experts, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. What's right and wrong is only what you conceive in your own self. Just do your thing, you know, whatever feels good, do it. As a result, when that kind of attitude creeps in and takes control, you don't consider the fact that your actions, what your words, what you do, what you say, how you act, affects other people. How many know what I'm talking about? It affects other people. A man or mankind left to his own devices will never accomplish or fulfill the Word of God. Can't happen. The only way the Word of God and the will of God is fulfilled and brought into being is by those who will surrender themselves completely and totally to Him, lay their lives down for others so that their life is spared. We know that by the Word also. If you seek to keep your life, well, I have my rights. That's enough to make you choke right there. You know what? Outside of God, you may have what you think are your rights, but what it is a road paved very slipperily, is that a word? To a place you don't want to go. It's separation from God. Right. Amen? Your Bible says stubbornness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction drives it far from him. Your Bible also says that there's times when you have to turn someone over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, for the salvation of their soul. Now that's not a pleasant thing to think about. That's not some place we want to go, right? But you know what? If God said it, then it has to be the right thing to do. And it didn't have to make sense to us. Did you hear me? It doesn't have to make sense to us. When you're so focused on you, you can't consider your ways. The only thing you consider is, I want what I want. How many know what I'm talking about? Now, I'm sure some of you are wondering, well, Bill, why are you going here, and what's the purpose of all this? I can tell you right now that the situation, I was talking to the men back there, some others heard a little bit about it, the situation right now that my son and daughter are in, because of the rejection of God, because of believing a lie, and you understand I'm not talking about my son and my daughter, okay? But they're caught up in a little bit. They're a little bit deceived right this moment because they don't want to believe that somebody they love could betray them another time. Now, you understand, I'm not speaking to bring judgment on their mom. For those of you who don't know, Mike's wife has been missing since a week ago today. 2 weeks ago today, excuse me. It's 2 weeks today. Went off by herself, selfishly. Untold resources being spent to try to find her. I'm not going to tell you, thus saith the Lord, or this is an absolute vision from God, but I'm going to tell you my feeling is, based on her relationship with God now, which is nil, one more time, she's not only turned her back on God, betrayed God, but she's betrayed her kids too. Now, we understand what the Word says in Corinthians. It says, love never considers a suffered wrong. But the one thing you have to understand is that when a person gives themselves or takes themselves out of the center of God's will, and you understand only you as a person can take you out of the center of God's will. How many know that? Amen. You turn your back on what's right. You turn your back on your vows. Your Bible says it's better not to make a vow than to make a vow and break it. Is that right? Good. When you stand and make a covenant with your children or with other people or with the house of God, when you stand and say, I make this commitment to my husband. I make this commitment to my wife. I make this commitment to my children. You're making a commitment. You're making a vow. God's not double-minded, and He doesn't come back on what He says. We know that because the Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, and He never changes His mind, nor does He withdraw the gifts and call when once they're given. Only you and I have the ability to turn. But then what makes it worse is not only when you don't keep your vow, but then you go in, you get involved with things that God says, I'll have no part of. They'll not be in my presence. What you have done is you have started down a road that goes back into the darkness you were delivered from. That's why your Bible says in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, or not Hebrews the 11th, but the 5th and 6th chapters of Hebrews, that you need to leave childish things behind. You need to become of age, put those things away, and get into the milk, or not get past the milk of the Word, but get into the meat of the Word. You can't sow to the flesh and reap anything but corruption. It's impossible. So what happens is you become a wolf in sheep's clothing, or you are a wolf that's dressed in sheep's clothing, and you go through the motions and you still talk like everything's hunky-dory, but you see the final authority is what the Word of God says. And bless some their darn hearts and mixed up minds, God does not change His Word for anybody. If you get changed, you're changed into the image and likeness. You're conformed into the image and likeness of God because of your obedience to the Word. One of the things I'm going to tell you, folks, God does not wink at sin. Now, when I say that, I'm not talking about little mistakes or little things we do in a fit of being out of control for a moment. I'm talking about willful disregard and disrespect for God. Or if I can just use the words, you commit adultery and homosexuality against God. And what do you think you're going to reap when you sow those kind of seeds? Corruption. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. Now, am I saying it's hopeless? No, I'm not saying it's hopeless. See, at the onset of this, I think I mentioned to most of you, told you in both, I think, on Sunday and Wednesday, that when this first started and I began to pray, I got a smile in my heart. That's the only way I can explain it. I can't explain it any other way. I got a smile in my heart. And I have the confidence and reassurance that at that moment, if she has faced or she is facing imminent death, she's come back to the Lord. That's what causes peace in me. I'm not going to trust my emotions. I'm not going to trust my children's emotions. I'm not going to trust the situation. I'm going to trust God.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. Your Bible says, in fact, we're going to read that here. Turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 26. I won't quote it, I'll just read it. If you keep your mind on Him, you will remain in not just peace, but perfect peace. Amen? Praise the Lord. We'll start in verse 1. Isaiah chapter 26, starting in verse 1. Hallelujah. See, the reason I read 2 Chronicles 7:14 to begin with, that's a good prelude to what I believe God wants to speak to our hearts today. In the fact that even though we are human beings, unfortunately, when we let our humanness get in the way and we give in to our own selfish lust, you know, look at Pharaoh. Pharaoh was given ample opportunity to keep the calamities from coming on himself, his own house, and his people, and yet the Bible says he hardened his heart. When you do that, you're not in a good place. The purpose of the Word of God, as we read in the parable of the sower, when that seed is sown, it's to bring about fruit and bring about change in your life. It's the Holy Spirit, by the work of the Word and the Spirit of God working together, that breaks up that fallow ground and causes your heart to be softened. Amen? Praise the Lord. However, once again, left to your own devices, you will not accomplish or work the work or will of God. Pretty much we can all agree with that, amen? In fact, there's not pretty much, that's the truth. Can't lie against the truth. But what happens when you give in to your own devices, your own ways, and I don't care what the circumstances are, folks, hear me carefully. I'm not standing here in judgment over anybody. I'm telling you what I know from the Word of God. Jeremy, it's not my opinion, it's what the Word says. And that is that when you turn from what you know is right, whatever the excuse, well, you don't know where I've been. You don't know how they've treated me. You don't know what happened to me. You're right. I don't. But I do know what God delivered me from, what He healed me from, and what's happened in my life because I've surrendered my life to Him. Amen?
Yeah.
You too. So there's an answer. There's only two choices. Sit and lick your wounds, and at some point you will come turn your back on God, because when you're focused on those things that you feel you've been violated, you feel you've been hurt, you feel you've been wounded, somebody's mistreated you, oh, woe is me, you're never going to get in the presence of God, and you're never going to be able to see past that hurt. That's why the Bible says, cast all of your care, your anxieties, your hurts, your torments, your fears, the wrongdoings that people have perpetrated on you, on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. Jesus took all of that care when He died on the cross, along with the sin that was in yours and my life, and set us free by taking it all on Him, becoming sin. He became that sin for us. So now there is nothing against us. I didn't say we don't make mistakes, and I didn't say we don't stumble and fall. The Scripture addresses those things. A righteous man falls 7 times but rises up again. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things that he suffered. The issue of the ordinances, the handwriting of ordinances, the things that would convict you in God's court have been done away with forever, as long as your life is surrendered to Him and you've made the decision, I'm going to follow Him all of my days. We sing that song, and I will follow you all of my days. Amen? That's a commitment. You see, we don't understand sometimes, or we don't think about, nor do we keep our thoughts in the right place, or let the Holy Spirit minister to us, that when you say things like that, you are making a commitment and a vow, or a covenant, if you will, if you like that word better, a covenant with God. You're making a covenant with other believers. I'm going to follow God. And if you turn from that, the Bible said it's better that you had never known the way of salvation than after you have known it to turn from the holy commandment that was delivered unto you. Amen?
Amen.
Goes back to a simple thing, the law of seed time and harvest. What a man sows, that will he also reap. If you reap to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the wind, you will of the wind reap, or you will reap the whirlwind. Amen? Now, I don't know about y'all, this is a no-brainer to me. Have I ever been wounded? Have you ever been wounded? Oh, you bet your life. Many of you, like myself, may have been in a place where you thought there was no recovery. Of course, the enemy played on that, made you feel like you were worthless, like you just the best thing you could happen to you is you just go crawl in a hole and die, and that the world would be better off without you. Those are lies from the enemy. Before we go any further in Isaiah, before we get to that, I want to read John 8:44. You want to turn there, you can. John 8:44. This is an absolutely amazing scripture to me. I'm going to start in verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word," or you refuse to listen to my word. Verse 44, "You are of your father, the devil, and his desires, and then the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning. He does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, and he is a liar and the father of it. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell you the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears God's word. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God." Now what does that mean? If the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, that can only mean one thing. That means you have taken yourself by a choice you've made, by your own decision and your own will, to take yourself out of the hand of God, live your life the way you want to, and you spit in God's eye, say, "God, you can't handle this." And what you do at that point is what the Scripture talks about, believing a lie, the lie becoming the truth, and then how great is the darkness when that happens. And not only that, you open the door to the road of reprobateness of mind. Are y'all with me?
Yep.
Satan is a betrayer and a liar. The Bible tells us specifically and clearly what the works of the flesh are, but it also tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is, does it not? Betrayal, selfishness, self-centeredness are not fruits of the Spirit. Those kind of things are not the works, nor do they accomplish the works of God in men's lives. Amen? Praise the Lord. So when you make a decision to violate a vow that you've taken before witnesses, when you make a decision to violate a vow that you've made to your own children, to your own husband or your own wife, you have stepped into an area that unless, and thank God for His mercy and grace, because there's a place where you can take before you take your last breath and say, "God, I'm sorry. I was a fool. I made a mistake. Forgive me. I repent." The problem is, however, though, that we don't want to tempt God. Again, going back to Hebrews chapters 5 and 6, the last five verses of chapter 5, and the last of first 6 or 12 verses of chapter 6. Y'all can read that later on today or in your meditation time this week. You don't know the hour or the time when God's going to say, "It's eternity time." Amen? Why would you take that chance? Why would you want to, when you say, "I love you," basically stomp that love in the ground and betray people who really care about you? There's only one reason anybody would do that. And that's because they are of their father, the devil, or they are imitating the one who was their father. You've gone back. You've turned back. The Bible says a man who sets his house, and that means mankind, it doesn't mean the gender man, it means men and women both, mankind. A man who sets his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What's back there, folks?
Nothing.
What were you taken out of? Death, destruction, corruption, sin, devastation. Oh, now that sounds like a place I want to be. Not. We have to understand, we have been given and walk in so great a salvation. Your Bible and my Bible says, how will we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? I can tell you a person in that place, when they have become reprobate in their mind, the only thing they have that they can count on, which they don't even realize, is the mercy and the grace of God. The difference is you and I know, because of our walk and our stand with Him, where we're at, and we know that mercy and grace covers us. Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. But they don't know that. They're only hoping that happens, if they're giving any thought to it at all. Are you with me? Let's go back to Isaiah 26. In that day, by the way, this is the caption on this particular chapter in the New King James Bible is "The Song of Salvation." Hallelujah. Praise God. "In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. God will appoint salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open the gates, that righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You see, when you pull yourself out of a place where you've made vows, when you pull yourself out of a place of following and obeying God to fulfill your own selfish lusts and desires, what you have done is you have placed yourself in a place where your mind is not on him. You have no peace. You can't possibly have any peace. And the other thing is, you have lost the ability to see that your life is not your own. You were bought with a price. What do I mean by that? I mean that Jesus gave his life for you, and he's given you the example and shown you the example that that's what you need to do for others. Amen? How many know we're not here for ourselves? We're here to accomplish and fulfill the Word of God. And that means laying our lives down, just as Jesus did. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the consideration is not for other people or what you might do or say that might hurt them, but only what feels good to me or what I think. Oh, woe is me. It brings the attention back to self. Self-righteous, selfish, self-God. Amen? That sounds like an attribute of Jesus, doesn't it? I think your Bible says he made himself of no reputation, came in the form of a servant. Amen?
Right.
And he loved not his own life, even unto death. Even unto death. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength. For he brings down those who dwell on high places, the lofty city. He lays it low. He lays it low to the ground. He brings down to the dust. The foot shall tread it down, the feet of the poor and the steps of the needy. The way of the just is uprightness, O Most High, upright. You weigh the path of the just. Yes, in the way of your judgments, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of your soul is for your name and for the remembrance of you. With my soul I have desired you in the night. Yes, by my spirit within me I will seek you early. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. The Bible says, whom the Lord loves, he chastens, chastises every son. Once again, the scripture that I quoted earlier about the fact that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. How many know children really want what they want? They want their own way. And it's our responsibility as adults and parents and grandparents to temper that and say, no, I'm sorry, this is not what's best for you. Is it wrong to desire them? No. But is it in your best interest? No. Sometimes no. Sometimes yes. But God holds us accountable for what we do. And the one thing that is sure is that you and I will never stand and give account for somebody else, nor will they be able to stand and point a finger and say, but they. For those of you who may not know the story, there was a lady where I was associate pastor or assistant pastor of another church. One time when I was visiting where she was working, she came to me out of the clear blue sky. Foolish thing I've ever heard. Nowhere does this say anything like this in Scripture. We all know that. But she says, Pastor, if I don't make it, it'll be your fault. And I said to her, I said, Lori, where did you get that from? That's not what your Bible says. But she had focused so much that if I don't make it, it'll be your fault. I'm not accepting responsibility.
Amen.
I mean, I'm not talking about her. She wanted me to take on that burden and say, what, you're responsible? Well, I'm responsible to do what God tells me to do in the respect that I prepare what God prepares, tells me to prepare, and I give it to you. What God does with it and the Holy Spirit is not my business. Do you understand? I'm working out my salvation. You're working out your salvation. But you see, what that says is I can't take responsibility for myself. I need to make it in on your coattails. Show me that in the Word. After 40-some years, I've never seen that written in the Word. Have you?
No.
See, selfishness not only brings destruction on the one who commits that selfishness, but it brings destruction or harm. I won't say destruction. I'll take that back. Forgive me. It brings harm to others, too. Amen? It brings harm to other people. One of the things we need to understand as human beings is what we do doesn't just affect us. It affects those around us. And that can mean not only us and our own household, but others as well. When a pastor or a minister of any kind gives in to deceit and sin, gives in to the lust of his flesh, does that not bring harm to the body of Christ?
Yes.
Does that mean God threw him out with, you know, poured the took the baby out with the bathwater? No, because his gifts and calling are without repentance. God knows we're but dust. He understands our frame. But that doesn't mean he condones wrongdoing. He's given us the instructions. He's given us the way that leads to eternal life. He is the way to eternal life. Jesus is the way to eternal life. Amen? He is the only way, the only truth, and the only life. And those are not things, those are what he is. Those are not just characteristics, those are what he is. Direction, truth, and life. Amen? Hallelujah. But it brings harm to the kingdom of God, especially to those whose eyes are not on God, but are on the one who stands up here. That's why it's not good to exalt a man in the ministry. It's not good. It's not healthy. You can be led astray. Because if your focus is on him and not on God and he slips, where are you going to be? In trouble. The only difference between you and someone who stands, or any Christian, someone who stands in the pulpit called by God, is the fact that God puts more responsibility and requires of us your blood if we lead you astray and we don't change or we get uppity. You understand? We're just like you. I don't care what the ministry is. You're just a human who God's called to do a work. That's why you got to do it His way. You got to listen to His word. If you diligently listen and obey, the Scripture says, you will eat the good of the land. Amen?
Yeah.
Through all of this, my spirit, my soul is excited. You know why? Because I see God's hand outstretched. Where will you go from the presence of God? Where will you go where you can hide from God's presence, or where God's hand is shortened and it's taken back where it can't save? But why do you want to go there? Why do you want to tempt it? Aren't you blessed? Aren't you happy where you're at? Hasn't God done amazing, wonderful things? The more you walk with Him, hasn't He revealed more and more to you? If He hasn't, one more time I'll say, consider your ways. See, right about now somebody'd say, well, Bill's just winging it. It's off the cuff. Oh no, honey. See, I trust the Holy Spirit. When I come in here, I didn't have a clue what I was going to say. I thought Bob was going to minister. I asked him, he said, No, I got nothing. I said, okay, God, you do. Amen. I already have, Harry. I hope I'm preaching you happy too. Because this is not about the negativeness. Do you understand? This is not about the negativeness. I'm saying that your actions and my actions dictate. Let me back up there. What you do today will affect where you are tomorrow and the outcome of your life tomorrow. But what you did yesterday is going to, and probably is, affecting your life today. If you're walking in health and prosperity and joy and peace and happiness, why? Because you made the decision to lay your life down and follow God no matter what. Because you know it's the best thing you can do. Amen? If you're in trouble and calamity today, then what you need to do is go back and see what you did yesterday, what you spoke out of your mouth, what you believed, what you let affect you, what you watched, what you heard. Amen? And remember, it's not that what goes into you that defiles the man, it's what comes out of you. Amen? God loves every human being. But once again, we need to understand there's two different kingdoms. We are all the creation of God. But if we're not serving God, we are not the children of God. It's that simple. You can't go around serving your own self and serving God. It's not possible. The Bible says no man can serve two masters. You're going to love the one and despise the other. You're going to serve the one and push the other one away. Now that's paraphrasing, but you know what I'm saying. whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you and I are. That's why God says, why Jesus, why it was told to, I believe it was, anyway, you know what, you all know who it was. You just listen to the scripture, you'll know. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. But here's my recommendation: choose life. Choose life. And then he went on to say, he says, I have come that they may have life, and life what? More abundantly. Where is there room for calamity or hurt or harm in that? There's not. Amen? He says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Amen? Hallelujah. See, the cool thing about this is I get to have it hot off the press just like you. Make no mistake, I get ministered to just like you, because it's God's work. So in this, if there's something you and I need to correct, let's do that today. Let's also remember those who we know are not walking where God wants them to walk, and continue to lift them up. Continue to pray, Ephesians 1:18, that the eyes of their understanding would be illuminated and enlightened, that they'd be able to see, that the lies and the deception, the blinders would fall off, and the light would shine in, so that they can be brought back like that lighthouse out there on the stormy sea to the place of safety, that safe haven. Amen. Be brought back into that place of being in the presence of God, where there's what? Fullness of joy. Fullness of joy. Amen. But we dare not put our eyes on people. No matter how much love we feel, and no matter what the relationship is, men will let you down. You all know that? You and I have the ability to let other people down. That's why it's not good for somebody to elevate us or for us to take praise. We're not worthy. He is worthy. He alone is worthy of praise. And He shares His glory with no man. And yet He says if we'll serve Him, He will crown us with glory. Whew. His ways are not our ways. If y'all can figure that out or can explain that to me, please do. All I know is it's in the Word and I accept it. I don't know how He does it. I just know He does it. Amen? Glory to God. Why would anybody who wasn't absolutely deceived choose to walk outside of the love, protection, and the presence of God? The only way it's possible is if you take your eyes off of who He is, put it on things that will not lead you to the light, but take you away from the light. I'm not going there. How about you? I've made my decision. And like the old song says, though none go with me, still I will follow. Yeah, it hurts. I can tell you it hurts. Sitting there in the hotel room, angry. My flesh licking its wound saying, well, God, they're acting like they love her more than me. Well, now that's oh boy, you know, that's God-like, isn't it? But at that point, even in that, I have to make the decision. You have to make the decision. I'm going to serve you, God, if everybody forgets about me. You know, I don't care. I don't care. It's not what I want. I'll get over it. That's something we don't consider sometimes when things like that are facing. We want to compromise. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We want to compromise. And yet once again, I'm reminded of the scripture that talks about when Jesus' mother and brother were standing outside and they came in and told him, your mother and brother are outside waiting for you. And Jesus' reply was, who is my mother and my brother, or my father and my sister? But those who do the will of God. Amen. What do you want in your epitaph? At one time, or you serve God, it says there, you serve God with all your heart. And even though in that time it hurts, when you think, you know, that attention's being focused on someone who's in sin, and but that's the love of God. God, see, if we can get an understanding, if we'll let the Holy Spirit minister to us about that, that even in our sin, God loves us. But that doesn't mean that we won't still face whatever's the end outcome if we don't repent. But that doesn't mean God loves us any less. And you see, in that, when you make the choice to serve God, you've laid your life down once again, where He says, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll get it. You'll receive it back. But if you keep your life, you'll lose it. Which is more important? The Bible says, I'll not fear what man can do unto me, but I'll fear the one who can take my name out of the book of life. Amen? So even though it may hurt for a little while, we also have promises from God. Amen? You and your house? Let me ask you, is anybody here any different or any less than the jailer and Peter? And I mean, Paul and Silas' time when they were in the inner prison? That jailer was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had all escaped just because there was an earthquake and the jail door was open. And about the time he was ready to thrust himself through the door, Paul and Silas cried out and said, do yourself no harm, we're still here. You think they didn't want to get out of that prison, out of that darkness? You better think again. You know they did. But you see, the consideration was God's will. And before that jailer could do himself harm, they said, do yourself no harm, we're still here. And that jailer cried out, what must I do to be saved? And they told him. And then they gave him the best news of all. You and your house. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just remember, He is the Alpha and the Omega. He sees the beginning from the end. So even though things may look bleak in some circumstance or situation that you may be facing in your own life or you see in somebody else's, where's our hope and where's our trust? And things on the earth, in our own wisdom and knowledge, or in the power and authority and the promises and blessings of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. You're worthy, Lamb of God. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I've looked at that song like many, many years in my youth and my foolishness and my lack of knowledge as a song just for when you come to know the Lord. And then it becomes obsolete. But He's still calling softly and tenderly, saying, oh sinner, come home. What does that mean? You may have done what it takes to do away with the sin that would cause you to lose or to be in eternity without God, separated from Him. But that doesn't mean that you can't still disobey and that He's not out there still calling softly and tenderly, saying, come home. home. You who are weary, come home. Which reminds me of the scripture. It says, those who are weary and heavy laden, call upon Him. Take His yoke upon you, and He will give you rest. Give rest to your soul. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. If anyone has a need for prayer this morning, don't hesitate. You don't necessarily have to come up here, but just make it known. And the saints of God will gather around. The elders will gather around and pray for you, pray with you. Amen. One of the things people tell me through this whole ordeal is, well, we're praying for you. And my comment to them was, that is the best thing you could do for me and for my family. That's the greatest thing you could do for us. Just continue to pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, right now I thank you for your word. I thank you that you, Jesus, are the living word revealed. Now, Lord, I thank you that your word has been sent to every heart. I thank you, Lord, that understanding has been illuminated and enlightened by your word. That peace, exhortation, comfort has entered in, Lord. The people have been built up and exhorted, Lord, by your word. Now, Lord, seal your word in every heart, in every life. I thank you, Lord, that it's accomplishing even right this moment what it was sent to do. And that the seeds that needed to be planted are planted, and now by the Holy Spirit and in your time, Lord, it's being watered, nurtured, fertilized, and it's going to bring forth fruit 40, 60, and 100 fold. Thank you, Father. We love you, Lord. We thank you for this day. And we are mindful of you every moment of this day and every day. Continue to have your way and your will, Lord, in our lives. Direct us so that we can be your ambassadors, Lord. Your vessels of gold and honor that you can use to perpetrate your kingdom. And we ask it and make these statements boldly for the furtherance and the building of your kingdom. Alone. Now, Father, we sanctify the food, the fellowship. We thank you for your presence, which we carry with us now from this place. Once again, Lord, make your face shine on your people. Remind them daily of your presence and your love, your concern, and that you have them in the palm of your hand, and that you have answers for everything, Lord. There is nothing beyond your capability or realm of knowing. Make that real to those who need to have that made real to them today. For this I praise you and thank you in Jesus' name, and that you get all the honor and glory. Amen.